verse number 14 is where we're going to start. John 7 and verse number 14. And I saw something. It must have been there all the time. It must have been there all the time. I do use the King James Bible, and that's what I was reading. But I saw something I'd never seen before. Before I get to that, you got your place in John 7? All right. Look in the book of Acts 13. We're going to be right back. Be right back. But one time, there was a fella. I don't remember exactly who he was, but he was reading the Bible, but he did not believe in election or predestination at all. But he read verse 48, and it changed his whole mind. Just read this. In Acts 13 and verse number 48, here is what happened when Paul was preaching, and the Jews didn't like it. They didn't like it at all. They got mad because they weren't being followed, really, why they got mad. But the Bible says in verse number 48, and when the Gentiles, and the Jews didn't believe Gentiles could even be saved. Actually, the Jews didn't even know what salvation was. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now that last little phrase there, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, that is the truth, right? I mean, that's the truth. That's the ones that the Lord saves. Those that are eternally ordained of God, I mean, that's the way it is. We don't know who they are. We don't. We just struggle down here. We just preach. We just tell the truth. That's what we ought to do, right? Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell what God wants us to say. I say all the time, just tell that, right? Those people that hear that and they believe it, they're ordained eternal life. But the Bible says here, and those that as many as are ordained to eternal life believe. And this shook this fellow's theology all up. It turned it all around. He believed that you believe that you're ordained to life. It don't happen that way. It don't happen that way. We're ordained to eternal life, therefore we're here. That's what the Bible says. That's what happens. All right? But this week, I was just reading. Sometimes I just read the Bible. I think it's good. I love the book of John. I just love to read that. I like the conversations that Jesus had with the Jews. I just like that. And I was reading in John 7, and I came across something that I want to preach about tonight. I want to preach about seeking God's will. Seeking, what is God's will? Well, that's a tough thing to think about. What is God's will? Don't you want to do what God wants you to do? I think I do. I think if you're saved, that's what you want too. You want to do what God wants you to do. That gives you satisfaction. That gives you peace. If you don't do what God wants you to do, you just got a big struggle on yourself. I mean, it's terrible. It's terrible. But the Bible says in John 7 and verse number 14, in John 7, verse number 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. This is an amazing statement. I think sometimes that we don't take it that way, but it is an amazing statement. Why? Jesus was a Jew, was he not? He was. But listen. Jesus Christ didn't have any kind of degrees after His name. He was not a professor. He was not somebody that had even gone to school. He never went to school? Never did. Never did. He didn't need to be taught by a man. Look what the Bible said here. In verse number 15, he was in there, he was teaching, and the Jews marveled. They were amazed that Jesus Christ was teaching anything at all. Why? He never went to their schools. No, he didn't. But he was in there in the temple, and he was teaching. And they said, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Alright? "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" In other words, he was not educated. So how did he know anything? You can't follow this guy because he's never been educated. He don't know nothing. Don't follow him. Jesus said this in verse number 16. He answered and said, "My doctrine is not mine." Well, this is a great thing. "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." And then the Bible says, this is an amazing thing to me that I had never seen. Maybe you have seen it. If you have, that I'm tickled to death as you've seen it. But it's my first time to see this fact. Jesus said, If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." I had to stop. I had to read verse 17 over again. I read it, and you know, every time I read it, it said exactly the same thing. It didn't change at all. But the truth is that Jesus Christ was answering those who said that he had no business at all teaching because he was not educated. But Jesus Christ was educated. Who taught him? Read it. In verse number 16, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." You know, there's no wonder at all that the Jews did not accept the teachings of Christ. It's no wonder at all. You know why? They weren't even saved. They had a name that they believed in God, but they didn't. Because they rejected Jesus Christ when he came. They said to Jesus Christ, right there in verse number 15, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" They said, "He's an uneducated person. He has never gone to our kind of schools. We don't recognize anything that he says." And Jesus Christ said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his is in me." Listen, whose doctrine are we teaching? Whose doctrine are we teaching? Well, that nails it down, don't it? Whose are we teaching? Are we teaching our doctrine? Or are we teaching God's doctrine? Which one is it? Well, that really puts a different light on things. You know, because we're saved, right? And we've been born again. We've been born from on high. We have a heavenly vision upon us. And we need to do what God wants us to do. And not what men say. You see, Jesus Christ answered them in verse 16 and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." This is exactly what we ought to do. This is exactly what we ought to do. Because Jesus Christ is our prime example. He is the one that we're supposed to be following. We're supposed to be doing what Christ did and nothing else. What did Jesus Christ do? He proclaimed God's eternal will. That's what He had on His mind. You know, Israel had forgotten this very basic thing. And that is that God is God and that God's will was what they ought to be following. God's will was what they ought to be obeying. They forgot that. There's a lot of religious leaders in that day that they didn't understand that. What happened to the Jewish nation? What happened to them? Did you know that in about 30 years from the time that Jesus Christ lived, about 30 years, maybe 40, that the Jewish nation was gone? It was destroyed. Think about it. Titus came in. Titus came in and he took over the Jewish nation and sucked them into his own domain. I tell you what, he couldn't handle the things of God. God is so good. God is so good. If we would just do what He wants us to do, think about it. Think about it just a minute. On the day of Pentecost, the Jewish nation was still a nation, right? And on that day, the gospel was preached, and people were saved, and a message went out. People were saved and baptized, and those people went out and talked to somebody else. And after a while, those people were saved, and then those people went out and talked to somebody else. Think about it. And then the church at Jerusalem was kind of really hurt because of the persecution that was upon them by the Jewish people. And then they scattered throughout the whole world. And then what happened? Israel was taken captive. And the people that were believers were somewhere else. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? God can do the same thing today. We don't know. We don't know exactly what He's got on His mind. But we need to do what God wants us to do. The Bible says in verse number 17, here's the thing. The Bible said, if any man, what's that first word? It's if. So God is leaving it with us. He is leaving it with us. He says, if any man, wait a minute, what's the next word? The first word is if, what's the next word? The next word is any. Right? So what Christ is saying there is that if anybody will simply do His will, then he will know of the doctrine. Wow. Did you know what? Think of this. Doctrine is important. What a person learns is very important. But a lost person can learn everything and have it down pat. He can give an answer just like a saved person can. The only problem is that a lost person is going to die and go to hell with all that knowledge. The Bible says, if any man will do His will, the way to do all this, the way to do it, is to know the will of God first. And then do His will. And then you understand the doctrines. But if you just struggle to try to get it all together, when you get, have you ever tried to wind up a twine, right? You got a kite string on a kite. Have you ever got that and you're taking that kite in and you don't roll it up? Instead of that, you just do it like this. You ever done that? This is a nice little pile. It's a nice pile. Until somebody comes along and says, "Oh, what a nice thing," and they pick it all up. Right? You've had it done? If you've never had that done, I'll do it to you. All right? Boy, I had it done to me one time. Because I had a kite out there. Boy, I had a couple rolls of twine on that thing. It's a long way. I could hardly see this little bitty spot out there. I got thrown that in. I was so enthused about that, I didn't wind it up. I let it fall on the ground. My sister came along. Boy, she a bad girl. And she picked that up. "What are you doing?" Who is dumb? I should wind it up. Everybody knows. You wind that, put it on a stick or something, you wind it up. That's like a lost person. Whenever they don't have anything to wind it up on, whenever they don't have any good doctrines, whenever they don't have the Lord, they'll wind up all those doctrines on what? Nothing. They might believe right, but if they don't have a foundation in Christ, there's nothing to stick it to. It's just out there. But when Christ is the absolute center of our universe, that takes care of everything else. Why? Because all our kite string is wound up good and tight. Right? That's what the verse is saying here. You see in verse 17? If any man will do his will, this is absolutely essential that we do his will, and then we shall understand his doctrine. That's what the Bible says. We shall know of his doctrine. You see? You see what it's saying? Whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Jesus Christ is saying that you must do his will first. Regardless of what happens. Jesus Christ is saying, you need to obey me before you do anything else. This applies, don't it? This really applies. Whatever you try to do in your life, if you want to look for a job, listen, what's the number one thing in looking for a job? What's the number one thing? Is it close to home? How much do I make? No, that's not number one. That's not number one. Do I have a car? Can I do that? That's not it. That's not it. What's number one? It's the will of God. You need to put the will of God first. First. And that will work. Other than that, it won't work. If you don't put the will of God first, you're in trouble. You need to put the will of God first. What is the will of God? I don't think I should have asked that. What's the will of God for your life? What is it that God wants you to do? What is it? I know what God wants me to do. I know what He wants me to do. I'm here. I'm pastoring. I'm trying to do everything I know to do. What's God's will for you? And I speak especially to you people that are younger than me. What is it God wants you to do? Think about it. If you only say, if I only knew the end, then I could do it. That's wrong. You need to do the will of God, and then you'll know the end of it. in about 20 years. See what I'm saying? You need to take God at face value and do what God wants you to do, and God will take care of the rest of it. You need to do that. Whatever God's will is, do the will of God. And God will bless you. God will take care of you. This is what Jesus Christ is saying. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. In my life, knowing the will of God is a very difficult proposition. In my life, it has been. But I think of the Apostle Paul about here. When Paul, at one point, did not know what to do. And a situation. You ever been that way? You don't know what to do. You know you ought to do something, but you don't know what to do. What should you do? They prayed about it. They said, we'll go to this one place. No, can't go there. Well, let's go over and do this. Can't do that. Pray about it. Can't get leave to go. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? Really? I'm talking serious stuff about this. Have you ever just prayed, Lord, help me to do what You want me to do. Help me, Lord. I want to understand what Your will is for me. I have a life. I want to do it. I'm going to be held accountable to You. I want to do what You want me to do. Have you ever felt that way? And then you just start off doing something. What does God want you to do? What does God want you to do? I don't know. All I know is what God wants me to do. I mean, that's all I know. I hardly know that, to tell you the truth. But God can bless you. There was a day, though, that they continued to pray. They continued to ask God what His will was. And finally, God showed them what He's supposed to do. Where is that? That's in the book of Acts. Well, I can't call it right now. Somebody might know where that was, but I can't find it. It's in the book of Acts. If you know where it is, you might tell me where it is. I can't find it. But anyway, I think I know where it is on the page. But that don't have me too much. But anyway, one day, Paul had a dream. And he realized, this is the will of God for me. And he stepped out and he did the will of God. You see, what does God want you to do? What does God have on His mind for you? It's very important that you do the will of God. And then you will know of the doctrine, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. That's what the Bible's saying here. It's very important that you understand this very vital truth. Look again. In the book of Acts 7. We can read verse 17 and we'll say immediately, Jesus Christ is always right. We can say that. And we'll be right to say that. But if we were a Jew living in that day, we might not say that. The Bible says in verse number 18 of John 7, He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. Wow. Look at that. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. I don't think God wants us to talk about ourselves. I don't think so. What does God want us to talk about? God wants us to talk about Him and what He can do. And that. The Bible says in verse 18, as he continues here, you see, he says, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him..." So we need to seek for the glory of God, not for our glory. That's what I'm taking from verse 18. "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory." So if I brag about myself all the time, I'm seeking my own glory, right? That's what it's saying. Then in verse 18, he says, "But he that seeketh his glory that sent him." If we're seeking to glorify the Father, the same is true. "And no unrighteousness is in him." That's what Jesus Christ said. When we stand before God, how do we want to stand? With our righteousness or with God? Or with what He's given to us? See what He's saying? I think we need to be right before Almighty God. The Bible says, verse 18, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory." That's absolutely the truth. "But he that seeketh his glory that sent him." Our desire ought to be to glorify God, because that is who's over us. He's the one. The Bible said, "The same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." The Bible goes on here in verse 19. It said, "Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law?" Jesus Christ said that Moses has gave you the law, but nobody keeps it. And then he says, "Why go ye about to kill me?" What? Does that even fit? Why did he say that? He said that because those people that were questioning him were going about to kill him. That's why he said it. He asked him a question. Look at verse number 20. "The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" Listen. These people are denying what they know. They're denying what they already know is true. That's what the Bible said here. Coupled with all that, put this all together if you can. From the way I'm bringing it out, only you might not be able to, but I trust you will. That in verse 15, the Jews were marveling because they said, "How can this man... I know this man letters, having never learned it." They said he's never been to university at all. He's a nitwit. Don't pay attention to him. And yet Jesus Christ is on to them. And he finally says, "You're going about to kill me." And there's proof. Scripture proof. Look in chapter 7, verse number 1. Chapter 7, verse 1. "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him." It was not a figment of his imagination. They were trying to kill him. Look in chapter 5, verse number 18, verse 17. John 5, verse 17, and verse number 18. What Jesus was preaching to them was an entirely different message than they ever thought about, because he taught them heavenly truths, not earthly truths. He taught them how they could live the kind of life that was pleasing unto his Father. They were taking all of that as something that they need to do right now to satisfy themselves. And that's not right at all. John 5, verse 17, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." In verse 18, the Bible says, "Therefore." Therefore is therefore reason, right? Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him. This caused them even more to try to kill Christ. Because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And they didn't get that at all. He is equal with the Father. He is. They didn't get it at all. They said, "You got a devil." Listen, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if people don't understand you when you want to live the way that God wants you to live. Don't be surprised. The world just don't get it. They don't understand. We can talk about dress. We can talk about coming to church. The world just don't get it. We can talk about our dedication to God. The world just don't understand that. Why in the world would you want to come to church and have somebody yell at you for 4 to 5 minutes? I mean, they don't understand that. They don't get it. I hope you do. I love to preach. God has put that in me. I'm thankful that He has. The world don't understand. Just like the Jews did not understand Christ or what He was even talking about. They didn't get it at all. In John 7 and verse 21, right after the people answered Jesus and said, "You got a devil, who goeth about to kill thee?" Jesus said, "I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Jesus Christ is speaking in spiritual terms, not fleshly terms. We need to understand that Jesus Christ is speaking in spiritual terms. Jesus Christ is our spiritual Father. He's going to take us home one day to be with Him. But look at verse 25. As further proof about this thing about Jesus said in verse 19, "Why go you about to kill me?" And the people said, "Well, who's going about to kill you?" Look in verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this He whom they seek to kill?" They knew it. They knew it. So, to do the will of God is a very, very important thing. If we just do the will of God, we will understand the doctrine of God. It must be that way. Christ wants us to do the will of God so we can understand. You know, sometimes we can understand more when we practice a certain thing. I remember once my dad told me, and this don't make it true at all, but he told me this happened to him, that he was in school. They had in their school, they had grades like 1 through 8 or something like that in one classroom with one teacher. So whenever they completed a course, whenever they got ahead a little bit, then they would need to teach the younger ones. Right? That's why they did it in that day. I don't know how you did it when you were in school, but that's the way they did it. He said that a lot of times he learned more explaining to the younger kids what he already knew. That's exactly what Jesus Christ is saying. You need to do the will of God so you can understand it. Sometimes we want to We want to understand what the will of God is before we ever do it. That is not what God said. God said He wants us to do the will of God and then we will understand it. Oftentimes, we want to understand it, then do it. He said, don't do that. You need to do the will of God. Have that fixed on your heart and on your mind to do the will of God, and then you will understand what it's all about. Listen, in our school, I have learned so much about doing the will of God first, and then I understand it. I've learned so much from teaching the younger children, just from being here. Because I do the will of God. That's what God wants us to do, and then we'll understand. Listen, just today, I was told that the young people in our church, they are so good. I was told that. I'm telling you now, young folks, you made a good impression on some folks. That today, we're here in services this morning. But all that's about is that the young people do and then they learn. They do and then they learn. And then when they teach others, then they learn more. And that's what it's all about. You see, if we don't do the will of God, we'll never learn. We need to step out. What is it? Step out by faith. Woo. And trust and do the will of God. Step out by faith and believe God. And then we'll understand. If you try to understand and then do it, you will never do it. You need to do the will of God. Do the will of God. Step out into the unknown. Do the will of God. If I what God wants you to do, He wants you to do it. And then you trust. Listen, if you're lost, God says to you, I want you to repent. I want you to believe in me. Right? They do that. They repent and they trust in God while they're lost. So it is. You just trust God. That's the way it is. By the way, I'll tell you this. It's in Acts 12. That's where Peter was in prison. I found it. It's in Acts 12. Verses 1 down through verse number whatever. I tell you what, this is an example. Listen, you know what Peter, he was in prison. The Bible said that he was sleeping. The Bible said in verse number 6 that he was bound between two soldiers. He was bound with chains. The keepers before the door kept the prison. Look what happened. In this thing, Peter did, and then he understood. The Bible said in verse number 7, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and he raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. Now, all this time, Peter thought he was dreaming. Verse number 8, and the angel said unto him, girt thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out, and followed him, and wished not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He thought he was dreaming. In verse 10. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Can you believe that? That's what happened. It's opened up when they come to it. Listen, that gate, That gate was not opened until they got there. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Sometimes, however, we want all the gate opened. We want everything opened up. We want to see the end of it before we ever do anything. Listen, sometimes the gate is shut, and when we get there, then the gate is open. And that's what the Bible says. And we need to practice that and learn that and just do it. The Bible said, and they went out and passed through on one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And verse number 11, the Bible says this, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Boy, that's great, isn't it? And then he thought, I wonder what I need to do now. I'm out of prison. What do I do now? The Bible said in verse number 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and where many were gathered together praying. Many were gathered together praying. And this tickles me. I tell you what, these people are saved. They're just like a bunch of saved people that pray for an answer. And when God gives them an answer, they're saying, oh, it can't be right. But what happened? Verse 13. And as Peter knocked, if I understand this right, I think it happened this way. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, the damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, so Peter was knocking, but he said, let me in. Let me in. And this damsel came to the door and knew that it was Peter. The Bible says, she opened not the door for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. You are a crazy loon. You're a crazy woman. You don't know nothing about anything. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, it is his angel. Are we not like the same way? You know, when God delivered Peter out of the prison. See, that's way back down. That don't happen anymore. Can God still do that? Can God still do that? He can. There's nothing impossible with God. You say, all the days of miracles are over with. Okay. I tell you what, when God saves a soul, is that not a miracle? When God changes a saved person's life, is that not a miracle? It is. Think about it. In verse number 16, but Peter continued knocking. He was on the outside, couldn't get in. Well, he's in a pickle, isn't he? He'd been out of jail. He's then in jail, waiting to be killed, and the angel came and delivered him, and now he couldn't even get in. Isn't that a sight? When they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They were just, it's more than they could take. And I guess everybody was talking at once. If I understand this right. In verse number 17, but he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, he said, stop this talking. I want to tell you what happened. They were all questioning him. How did this happen? How did this happen? You're here. You was in jail. He declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. God is well able if we just seek His will. You know, Peter, he was content in jail, thinking he was going to die. The Bible said he lay down and went to sleep. Could you? Could I? I've never faced it. I don't know. I hope I can. I hope when the day comes that I know I'm going to die, I will just lay down and I will trust the Lord. That's what I want. That's what I want. More than anything else. But you see, in the book of John 7, the Bible said in verse 17, if any man will do his will, and this is the key. If any man, if any person will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. And God will bless. He will do that. But he wants us to do, he wants us to be active in doing the will of God before we ever see the end of it. I think God wants us to do that. Before we ever see the end of it. God wants us to do His will. Listen. When God called me to preach, to some of you people, it was before you even born, God called me to preach. God laid a burden on my heart to present His Word, to always be true to Him, to this Bible, to just say what God wanted me to say. You know, all these years, that's been what I wanted. But you know what? When the Lord called me to preach, I didn't see Passion in this church. I did not see that. But you've got to do what God wants you to do. If God lays a burden on your heart to do something, you need to do it. And God will bless later. He will bless you later. That's the point. That if we seek the will of the Lord, He will always answer. He always will. Do what God wants you to do. Whatever it is, do what God wants you to do, and then you know the doctrine. You really understand it. But if you don't obey the will of the Lord, you'd be like a guy running that cat's ring in, piled up at his feet. And your old mean sister come pick it all up. Nah. She wasn't mean. She just did that. I think she did that to show me that I need to reel that up. I think that's what happened. Anyway, if you're lost tonight, we pray for you that you might see Jesus Christ precious to your own soul. If you're saved, we pray that you might tonight see that you need to do the will of God. Whatever it is, whatever God lays upon your heart, you gotta step out by faith into the unknown and do that. To our church, I say, it's important that we always do the will of God, and sometimes we don't even see that. Sometimes we don't even know what the will of God is. But we need to see every day what God wants us to do and always be obedient unto Him. I know that tonight I've not preached about the will of God too much. I've not shown you in the Scripture what the will of God is. I know that. I did not intend to. Because I don't know what the will of God is for you except this. I know if you're lost, God wants you to be saved. If you're saved, I know God wants you to be faithful. That's it. And you think about that. You do what God wants you to do. If you're lost, you need to trust the Lord tonight. If you're saved, you need to trust the Lord tonight. And do what God wants you to do. Step out by faith and believe in God. And God will never, ever, ever let you down. All right? Just do what God wants you to do, whatever it is. Okay? That's our prayer for you. Brother Brian, please come. If you would. As we stand, and we pray that the Lord help tonight, that we might always do what God wants us to do, nothing else.